Prince.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide. Because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go freaking nuts. Especially with copious quantities of scumbaggery and BS all around you. Learn to laugh at the things that terrify you. That's what I've learned if you want to remain sane. And because you ever noticed that the people who are the most crazy, you know, who are the most angry, very rarely smile and laugh and have fun. And it's very important to keep that train going. Speaking of which, we have been donated a significant amount of cash, which has just been spent on my girlfriend Sarah's new van, so she can do her gardening job and everything like that. And that's due mostly to two people, Heather and James, who gave a significant amount to the Sarah's new car fund. Now she can go to work and stuff like that, and we can continue living our happy lives. And I'll continue, of course, doing this radio show and exposing scumbaggery the best way I know how. And I just wanted to say just how fracking grateful I am every single time that I'm down in the dumps and totally screwed and have no idea how I'm even going to continue or survive until next week. Somebody who listens to this show turns up and gives me something, whether that be the energy, the encouragement, or the financial resources to keep doing this. That's why I interview pretty much everybody who my listeners suggest, because really this is a show for all of you guys. Okay, I barely make any decisions. I'm just the I'm the man behind the curtain, just propping all the gears and levers. You guys are the Wizard of Oz, and thank you very much. You're just magic. Another guest that was suggested to me is my current one, Anne Bressington from Australia. Anne, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
And what were we talking about just before we got rudely cut off by the ad before? I forget.
Well, we were talking about the government over here trying to get through the recognition of local council in our constitution, which would mean then that state governments would be done away with, and we would have just local government and the federal government to roll out UN agendas, and especially Agenda 21, and enforce the treaties that we've signed over the last decades. And it's a very scary scenario, and people in Australia need to actually get up off their butt now and do something, because politicians need to be nudged in the right direction of what the people want. And if they ignore it, then they ignore it at their peril.
Now, I do think that this is the real thing that's the problem. I go around, I see so many people in New Zealand, and you talk about the stuff with them, and they go, don't worry, mate, she'll be right. Just have another Monteith's or another Lion Red or something of that nature. And I'm sure in Australia it's, don't worry, mate, I'm sure the government's fair dinkum, just have another Foster's. It's the same thing. We've just got this cultural gap of people who want to drug themselves out of giving a frack about reality.
Yep, you're right. And, you know, I'm a great follower of Rage Against the Machine. And one of their songs says exactly that, you know, forget about the movement, go out, have a good time, and just party, and don't worry about it. And we've got to get out of that frame of mind, because I believe that right now we are, as I put it, a bee's dick away from total control of government. And if we don't stand up and we don't stand our ground now in a peaceful and lawful manner, then I had a conversation with Barnaby Joyce. I don't know whether you've heard of him over there. He's a federal government senator for the National Party.
No.
And I was at a dinner one evening and I said to him, you know, about all this foreign investment, what's going on with the selling off of Australia, this Agenda 21. And he said to me, Anne, he said, the problem is that China, who is, you know, the main country, it's a sovereign country, buying up our sovereign land. And he said, the problem is that the Chinese have bigger guns than we've got, and they've got more guns than we've got. And if we try and kick their butt, then they will kick our butt three times harder. He said, and we're not that far away from one day waking up to a knock on the door and being told, you know, I longer own this property. You know, get out, work in the fields and make food for us. He said, that's how serious this is. So we need to understand here, this isn't just a game. This isn't just a conspiracy theory. This is a real threat to our freedom and to our sovereignty. And if we don't start acting now, then by the time we realise that this has all happened, it will be too late.
Yeah, no, and you know, it's really difficult to get people motivated on this particular issue. I believe the problem is that people are employed. Like, employment is actually one of the greatest ways you can use to distract and exhaust people so that they will not have the energy to do any research or take any action of any kind. And I've seen this through protests over the years, Anne, is that most of the people that come out who are doing a huge quantity of the research and going to the protests are really intelligent people, are actually unemployed.
Yes. Well, we have that aspect of it where it's not just a 9-to-5 job anymore. In I think it's Australia, we work the longest hours of any country in the world. We have a casual employment base. So most people do not have just that full-time job. So they're on shift work and they're scraping for hours at work to be able to make ends meet. Some people have maybe two or three different jobs, especially in the hospitality industry. But we also have a government that is expert at divide and conquer. So for every government system that exists, we have work cover for injured workers, we have child protection, we have Office of the Public Trustee, and the list goes on and on of statutory authorities that we have. Every single one of those statutory authorities is legislated in a manner to make people fight for what is rightfully theirs. So work cover, I was just dealing with a gentleman last week who has spent the last 6 years representing himself in the WorkCover Tribunal. He won, and then WorkCover, the corporation, appealed against the judgment and had the judge removed from the case that found in his favour. So now it looks like he's got another 6 years of time in court preparing for his case. The same with child protection. I'm sure you have the same problem over there with child protection issues. Children that shouldn't be removed are. Children that should be removed are not. And it is just a battlefield. So we have so many people now caught up in their own personal battles for what would never have happened 20 years ago. Plus, you know, they're working long hours. They're working more than one job. It's all a distraction. It's all a distraction to take away from what the big game, end game is. And I keep saying to people, we've got to come together. All of these issues have a blueprint. There is a way this is rolled out on individual cases and individual issues. And what we're doing is we're putting out all the little brush fires and we're not seeing this raging bushfire that's heading towards us. And that's exactly what they want. It's diversion. And you're right, people are too busy for one reason or another to actually sit down and look at this for what it is. But you know what? We've actually got to make the time, because if we think life is tough now, then in a very short period of time, it's going to get a lot tougher.
Well, and I think anybody who's even paying a minute amount of attention in any country or whatever understands now more than ever that for the last couple of years, everything's been getting consistently tougher and tougher and tougher, and there's just no end in sight.
Oh, absolutely. And we've got a situation, I don't know what it's like in New Zealand with these marine parks. In South Australia, most of our fishing industry will be gone when these marine parks are rolled out. And we've got, you know, one organisation with 18,000 members that are trying to fight these marine parks, because it's not just about, as I suppose you know, this has got nothing to do with the environment. This has got to do with setting up pristine areas for the rich and famous to be able to come on holiday. And it's ironic that here in Australia we had just last year a battle about the super trawler Margaris coming into our waters to trawl for our fishing resources, marine resources, invited by the same federal government that is now rolling out these marine parks and closing down local fishing businesses, fishing industries, because apparently the most well-managed resource in the world, which is Australian fisheries, is under threat. Now, people are being touched by this, and this is Agenda 21. This is also Agenda 21. So, all about the environment, and there was a meeting over at a small island off South Australia, Kangaroo Island, about 6 or 7 months ago, when they were talking about these marine parks. And the fishing industry was represented there, and they said, this is our livelihood that you're taking away. And the minister's response was, well, you just have to move to the mainland and get a real job.
Oh, my God. That is so arrogant.
Well, that's what we've got. We've got arrogant governments who, for whatever reason, believe that they have the force and the power now to roll out these policies, these environmental policies, and there is no need anymore to fear the people. And isn't there that saying that people should not fear their government, government should fear their people? And
well,
we're asleep.
I think the full quote from Jefferson is, when the people fear the government, there is tyranny, and when the government fears the people, there is freedom.
That's right. Yep. And we've got to turn that around now. And we've got so many people that have lost faith in the political system as it is, you know, the voting, two-party preferred. Nobody really knows what to do. People are running around chasing their tails, thinking up all of these things like, well, we just won't vote. Well, people don't understand that if only 10% of the population vote, that 10% pick government. They elect government. So by not voting, I guarantee you that the environmental zealots, the communists that we have in our country, Marxist regime, whatever you want to call it, they won't forget to vote. So when you do vote, you make your vote count. And know your candidates. You know, take time to suss them out on what they stand for and what their party stands for. And if you don't like it, don't vote for them. Vote independent. You know, vote for the gun club, whatever, the shooters party, or whatever. But, you know, you need to be proactive. I have a saying in my office that for democracy to work, you actually have to work at democracy, because our politicians are like, I describe the mother in me, they're like spoiled children in a candy store. And if the parents, which is us, don't say no, stop, then they will just feast on all the candy that they can get their hands on. And they may throw a tantrum here and there when they don't get their own way. But you know what? That's what it's all about, us exerting our power and not having them exert their power over us.
Well, it seems to me that if you are not going to vote, another quote comes to mind, the only thing that's necessary for evil to get its way, and not in so many words, is for good men to do nothing. And
yes.
I found this very interesting, this of I'm not going to vote because there's no point in voting and I'll never accomplish anything. Well, mate, by doing nothing, You are vocally,
yes,
physically, and perpetually making evil stronger.
That's right. And that's exactly what they want. They want you to lose faith in the system. They want you to lose faith in the power of your vote. And they want people not to vote. As I said, the zealots and the communists and the Marxists won't forget to vote. And this has been a gradual... And I blame lamestream media a lot for this. You know, this how much politicians get paid, all the lurks and perks. And in some cases, you know, it's true. But there's been this gradual attack on politicians that some have deserved and some haven't. And people don't even bother now to get to know their candidates. As soon as you say you're a politician, people go, oh, really? And they don't believe another word that comes out of your mouth. Now, the media have contributed to that in a great way. Politicians who have done the wrong thing have also earned that reputation. But not everybody in politics is a rotten egg. And if people can't take the time to tell the difference, then, you know what, societies get the governments they deserve. And well, we're on that
apathy,
track.
Apathy is the most dangerous thing, I think, because, well, basically the scumbaggery element within the world government structure need people to not give a frack in order to get away with whatever they're doing. If you don't care, okay, what happens to you or what happens to other people, then sure enough, anything they want to do to you or to other people will get done unless you stand in their way. And I think this is a part of a duty to your country or your people or even just to the small thing. It's a duty to yourself to remain free, okay? I don't know about you, Anne, but I've had jobs before, and I don't have any form of employment now. Thank God, thank goodness for that. I get to, you know, talk radio with cool people like yourself for a change. Where I have hated my boss, but because of the fact that he's my boss, I haven't been able to say anything that about it. And as a result, all of these negative thoughts, emotions, and things of that nature are stuck within me, and I wind up hating myself. And I think that's what's happening to the voting public now.
Well, you're right. And I, in Australia, you know, the best job that people could go for now is in mining. You know, that's the job that will provide you with security, with the money that you need to survive. And I liken that to way back when, in the days of slavery, when you either went out in the fields and picked cotton or you worked in the mines.
You know, it doesn't sound sane at all to me, you know. And that's the reason why I believe that the system is insane. We'll be right back with Anne Bressington from Australia.
Been edible. I'm a cracker, not a vegetable, fed to an extraterrestrial. The beat is so electrical, it'll pump your heart ventricles, but I bet you will eject it if I start getting in.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And my very special guest is Anne Bressington from Australia. Now, Anne, I found that another reason why people get detached from trying to protect their current country is because they don't know much of its history. Have you noticed that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have been a great fan of Alex Jones for a long time. And the fact that people in America know their constitution, they know their rights, they're willing to fight for it. Here, we have got no idea how our constitution is supposed to work, when our constitution is being unravelled. And we don't have that history, that knowledge of history. And I think that takes away a lot of the patriotism that we used to have in this country. And people are just sort of drifting around aimlessly without any real knowledge of their roots and appreciation of, you know, people that have given up their lives for the freedom of this country. And especially in our young people, and I'm not denigrating young people at all, but this whole education system and then going on to uni, it's all a programming exercise, I believe, that puts us more worried about ourselves, concentrating more on ourselves than we are on the country as a whole. And we've lost a lot of the good old Aussie spirit over here in the last probably 10 years, 15 years, I suppose, where, you know, that fair dinkum buddy camaraderie seems to have faded away. And I
do you have any right. Do you have any anecdotes of a personal nature on that vein that you might share with us?
Sorry, could you repeat that?
Do you have any anecdotes of a personal nature and your personal experience that you might share with us based on that vein?
Oh, look, I see this in my work all the time. I meet with constituents, and that whole focusing on themselves and their issue. Like, for example, we've got all of this trouble going on at the moment in Australia with foreign investment, Agenda 21, the issue of the local council being recognised in the constitution. These are big issues, big issues. And we've got a group of people running around worrying about citizen-initiated referendum. They don't understand. We're not operating under our constitution anymore. We are operating under corporate law. And it doesn't matter whether we get a citizen-initiated referendum or not. You know, we might get that reinstated, but we'll never get to actually have one of those referendums because governments have found a way to go around the need for a referendum. So that's one issue. I wish people would concentrate more on the big picture stuff when they're involved in these lobby groups. Concentrate more on the big picture stuff that we're actually facing now and put those side issues, put them aside, and let's all come together and send a very clear message to our governments that we want to be governed by our constitution, not by corporate law. And once we could get that sorted and get our government to admit that they are not a constituted government, they are a corporation. We've got the papers, we know the registration number, and you can't have a government leading people and governing people and acting as a corporation. It just simply does not work.
I mean, it's fair enough for somebody to create a business and then give people the choice about whether or not they want to work for you and be able to negotiate pay and things of that nature. Government as a corporation, on the other hand, forces you to buy their products, forces you to work for them, and forces you to agree via coercion in every single aspect. It's not supposed to govern public life, the corporate law is. It's supposed to govern private enterprise and things of that
Absolutely.
Nature. They've completely missed the mark here.
Well, and you find, as you go through and dig deeper, go down the rabbit hole, that even our courts are corporations. So what we've got here is people in Parliament developing statute law. People go into court. They argue their case based on statute law, but find that the courts are operating under corporate law, which is a completely different code. So the chance of getting a judge that is going to find a judgment in your favour based on law, is on statute law, is very few and far between cases, I'm afraid. So we've got two sets of laws that don't work together and don't work in the best interest of the people. And that's why I say to people, go to common law. While it's still there, go to common law and argue your point based on common law. And if you don't start exercising that particular right that you have, then you may as well kiss the life you know goodbye. Because we've got a reign in the courts, we've got a reign in government. And, you know, only the people can do that. Politicians make laws. People need to make sure that those laws work for them.
Now, common law is based on common sense, but the irony
Absolutely.
Being common sense is no longer common, which is why I've decided to rename it platinum sense, because it's the rarest element on earth.
Well, I tend to agree with you, and especially with the laws that we're making. But
I would like to see the Australian... I would actually like to see the Australian mining industry try to mine some kind of, mine some platinum cents for a change.
Well, I think we all know that common sense isn't as common as it used to be. And, you know, I have a saying that the fish rots from the head. This dysfunction comes from dysfunctional government. And we've got governments in Australia that are keeping that dirty secret, that our crest, the emu and the kangaroo, is not actually a crest. It's a trademark. And that every government department that we're dealing with, customs, you know, all of these government departments, Department of Water, Department of Environment, they're all individual corporations behaving under corporate law. And we've got to get back to our common law rights and challenge that corporate law on common law rights. And we've got a group up here called Flag Australia, which is Food Producers and Landowners Action Group. And we're taking donations now to actually build up enough money to be able to take some of these cases where farmers are being driven off their land to the High Court, because we know that once we get to the High Court, the laws that have been made around water, around farm management, all of that sort of thing, against our constitution. If we can get a ruling in the High Court based on that, then these laws that have been introduced are null and void. So, you know, we've got to start fighting for this in the right way. We've got to start using the legal system that we understand to be, and the High Court is really the only authority that we have to make a judgment on whether laws are constitutional or not. And we've got to start going that extra mile and doing that, because if we don't, then we are bowing down to corporate law, which doesn't work for us as citizens.
Now, if the existing system is broken, usually the best thing to do is to create a new system that makes the existing system obsolete. That's another old saying. And I was just thinking about this. Somebody asked me, and how do I suggest that we get New Zealand back out of control of the corporates and the scumbaggery element within that controls our society? And I said, well, you know, anything but violence, right? Basically, that's the bottom line. Avoid violence at all costs, because if you fire the first shot, oh my God. And the other element that I said is it must be done in a lawful, procedural way, like in the court systems. This person did make a point, and I understand what they're saying. They said, what do you mean? Their court system, their legal system, which doesn't in any way serve you whatsoever. And I was just thinking about this as you were talking. What if we were to create, like, you know how they have citizen-initiated referenda? What if you had citizen-initiated courtrooms where there is an elected judicial representative and they make judgments based on such and such and blah, 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 and dispense justice that way and have people voluntarily comply with it or something? I don't know.
We've got a movement over here, and I think there are about 1 million people that are subscribing to information on self-representation and what you do when you go into the courts. And although I haven't gotten into this, a good person, I don't know whether you've ever interviewed him, is Wayne McHugh. He's been into court and won on numerous occasions on common law issues. And what we're finding is, because the courts are also corporations, that it may just well be that even our judges aren't legally appointed judges. They haven't sworn an oath and they don't have a bond. And if people can do their research and find out how to approach that when they first go into court, what we're seeing is more and more that we're not getting trial by jury, which is a constitutional right. And not just for serious crime, that less and less juries are being used, and we can insist on that. And we can, you know, this is about people being courageous now, understanding what they're doing, getting in contact with the right networks of people that have tried this and have proven it to be effective, and not just going with the flow anymore. I don't believe that many of the judges actually understand that they are acting what could be illegally. And there's a great YouTube clip for people to read when all this was discovered in Australia. It's called What the FUQ? Frequently Unanswered Questions About the Australian Government. And it started off with a guy trying to import a car from America to Western Australia.
Scott Bartle, eh?
Yes.
I had him on the show. And great guy.
Yes, he is. And there are a lot of splinter groups that have been going for a lot longer than Scott Bartle on this issue. There's been the straw man thing, you know, all of that sort of stuff. But, you know, they're only small pieces to the bigger puzzle. And we really need to sit down now and get our head around how the system, using the system against the system, is going to work for us. And then, of course, we've got to have the confidence and the courage to actually move on that. And I believe there are people in New Zealand that are also getting involved in this sort of thing as well. And what I'd like to see, you talk about setting up another system. What I'd like to see is these people who have gone into court and have used the system against itself and have won to set up education groups within the community for people that are going through all sorts of challenges to educate them on the how, what, when, where, why, who that this works.
We have an agency.
That's when we create our own system.
We have an agency in New Zealand called the Citizens Advice Bureau. So if at any point you have dealings with the government or legal staff or anything like that, they have a volunteer network who you can go into their offices and see, and they'll give you certain advice, show you where to go and things like that. And I reckon that should actually be the model of how these countries, our countries really, are going to develop going forward. Because what I've found is interesting, it's very Orwellian, because everything is the opposite of what its stated intention is. So if
That's
its
right.
intention is, say, the if the carbon tax legislation, for example, its intention is to help the environment, well, actually what it's going to do is just destroy human civilization. If the health system is there to keep people healthy, well, obviously it's there to make them sick and make them need the health system even more.
Yes.
If the politician's job description is to solve the country's problems, then obviously their job is really to make more problems for the country
Create
so that they
them.
Continue to
yes.
be gainfully employed, as it were. And I think that, again, voluntarism and charity is being wiped out by government wholesale, because it's really the thing that that binds people together, is doing something for another person, not because you're compelled or forced to do it, but because you choose to out of your own goodwill for your common man.
Yep, I agree with you. I agree that governments are dismantling over here the non-government sector at lightning speed, that all of those organisations that were set up by people in the community because they were concerned for their fellow men have gradually been infiltrated and taken over by government. And if they didn't agree to that, then if they didn't play the game, then they were closed down, shut down. We've seen an entire centralisation of power, and it's all controlled by government. And we do need to start those community groups now that are there to aid and assist for no reward other than the fact that this is what we do as a community. We pull together. And we can beat the system. We can beat the system. And people need to have confidence that there are people that have done that and done it well, and that they have knowledge to pass on. And the other side of it is people need to be prepared to listen to that advice.
Yeah. I mean, look at it this way. If you're going to be following an advice from somebody, who should you follow the advice from? The people who are actually being successful at what they do, or the people who mess up and turn to crap everything that they touch, like the government? I think it's pretty straightforward. We'll be right back.
I got some so-called friends. Smile right to my face.
Oh, yeah.
All when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh, no, no.
Oh, no, no.
Oh, no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Who's that? Are you on?
Whose side are you on? Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The show that knows 100% what side you should be on. It's called The Right Side of History. Speaking of history, a helpful quote from Sun Tzu in The Art of War. When an enemy offers distraction or is elusive, pretend to take his lead to discover his intentions. Then strike from knowledge of the ground he is preparing for you. In that way, use his strength to prepare the ground for him. My very special guest is Anne Bressington, who is abreast, as it were, considering your name's Anne Bressington, of the scumbaggery within the Australian government, particularly to do with Agenda 21 protocol. And, of course, if you were listening to this broadcast and you're not in Australia, if you're, say, perhaps in New Zealand, or America, or the Uber Kingdom, oh, sorry, the UK, you may recognise every single thing that we're talking about here. You know, why? Because Agenda 21 is not just for Australia, or New Zealand, or America, or the Uber Kingdom, or Canada, or Laos, or Cambodia, or anything like that. It's for all of us. All of us. And the best way to take down an overarching system is to take individual stands. It's what I've called the tactic of the cactus. A cactus protects itself by covering itself in every direction with individual spines so that it forms a protective blanket so that any time, any scumbag, anywhere, tries to attack this little cactus, they get a little prick to remind them. And that's what we all need to be, not to put too fine a point on it, is a bunch of little pricks working together against the scumbaggery.
I love your analogy.
I put the anal analogy. All right, anyway. Sorry about that. Right, so where would you like to take it from here? We only have around less than 10 minutes left in the broadcast, and if you have websites, information, or donation drives, or anything that you'd like to use this listenership for, and of course corresponding archives, I encourage you to do so. The show's kind of like a bathtub; doesn't work very well without a plug or two.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'd just like to make the point that people who have lost faith in their politicians, I'd just like to tell you about a little bit about my journey. Since that speech went up on YouTube about Agenda 21. And it's not easy for politicians to stick their head up about these kinds of things. Since that particular video went on YouTube, I've had my Facebook account hacked, and I've had articles put out in my name that I haven't written. I've basically lost control of my Facebook page and had to deactivate the account, which was a shame because I was getting the message out there on that particular page. I've had almost 3 weeks of pounding media, calling me a wingnut, a conspiracy theorist, you know, the whole defame and destroy your character and your standing. And I've basically had to stand with that on my own because, as you can imagine, the major parties love this sort of thing when it happens to an independent. So if you have a politician that is prepared to stand up for you, then, by God, as a community, you need to get behind that person and you need to give them all the support by writing to other members of parliament and letting them know that you support what that politician is saying, that you know that politician is speaking the truth and that you don't stand for this anymore, because it's tough. It is very tough. People lose sight that members of Parliament are also mothers and fathers, aunties, uncles, grandparents, that they have families that are affected by all of the bad media that is put out there. So, number one, it's not easy for politicians to break ranks and speak out about it. You notice that a lot of people, once they're out of Parliament, come clean. And that's because they no longer have to worry about having their name and their reputation destroyed, along with their family members being affected by that as well. So that's the first thing. Don't lump all politicians into the one basket. You will find that there are some in there that are in there for the right reasons, and they either stay on that track of truth or they cave under the pressure, and there is a lot of pressure applied internally to people to toe the line. So the second thing is, I guess, to start to work together as a community. As you said, become a bunch of little pricks fighting the skullduggery. Come together as a community and get yourselves organised and go to people who have had successes and listen to what they have to say. What I find with people at the moment is because everybody is so confused, everybody is so fearful that they come up with a wacky plan and think that that is going to get them out of the situation that they're in.
Oh yeah, I've seen many.
Yes, and the other side of that is that when they get somebody that is prepared to give them advice, they want to argue with them, you know, because they need to be right. They need to be the one that's got the smoking gun that's going to crack the system. So we have to get a plan, and that plan must come from people who have done it and done it well and succeeded. So whatever wacky plans you may have, put it on hold until you hear what these people have to say and get the information that you need. Number three is there is a lot of homework to be done on this. There is the need for us as individuals to be familiar with our constitution and our constitutional rights. And when a law is being passed that you don't agree with, that you know is stepping over the line, then as a community, you need to come forward and you need to lobby government by email, by letter, in person. It's time-consuming, I know, but in the long term, you're going to get the gains that you're looking for, because silence is consent, ladies and gentlemen. Silence is consent. And if they always warn us about what they're going to do. About 4 months ago, we had Bob Hawke, former Prime Minister, come out and say that we should do away with state government and have local government recognised in the Constitution. Well, you know, wait for the outcry. No, there was none. So now we have this Senate committee that's being formed to recognise local government in the Constitution, to get a way around having a referendum. So they always give you, even if it's only a small little article in the paper or a 5-second bite in the news, they always warn you about what they're intending to do. And we just sit back and pass it off and go, oh, that'll never happen. Well, it does. And we have to be ever alert of the little messages that they're sending us of what their plan is. And then, of course, as I said, we need that plan to actually carry it out and to resist. You know, public disobedience is a necessity, but it has to be, as you said, lawful and peaceful, and using that system against them.
And also, I want to advise people, don't be naive. Just because somebody's coming up with a crazy plan doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. Here's the reason I know that. Because how much crazy stuff has already happened? You have a look at history and you have a look at the present, and it'll probably tell you what your future will hold. And in my experience, through my studies, there are nutcases out there. And psychopaths. And they're very, very adept at getting themselves into positions of power, of manipulating other people,
and of implementing things that are completely insane. And people pass it off just saying, that's so crazy, it'll never happen. And sure enough, it does. Because they assume that the people passing this crazy legislation aren't crazy themselves. It's not the case, in some cases.
Well, I have to agree. I mean, if you look at the environmental movement and where it started to where it is now, who would have believed 15 years ago that we would be at the point where a rock has the same, you know, as far as the United Nations are concerned, has the same status as a human being? Who would have thought that we have a person like Ted Turner, who is a member of the Club of Rome, saying that we need to reduce the population by 95% because the planet needs to survive? Who would have thought that Mikhail Gorbachev, who is also a member of the Club of Rome, would be one of the people responsible for drafting Agenda 21 and having that rolled out right throughout all over the globe? You know, we've lost sight of who these people are and how much power they have and what their agenda is. And their agenda is not us. It's not looking after us. So we've got to start looking after ourselves. And to think that, you know, we do have psychopaths running the world. No doubt about it, that they have a whole other agenda to what we would believe would be for the continuation of humankind. And they've got to be stopped.
Indeed. Anne Bressington, ladies and gentlemen, man, I've really enjoyed this conversation. And you're a top lady, top Aussie, Sheila. Thank you very much for your time. And we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen, at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Remember to get the archives there off the website, thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question.